Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Laughing, this is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany, your AC blasting, bagel eating, still in her pajamas best friend.
And I'm Kathleen, your beachside lounging, wine spritzer drinking, lifetime movie watching friend. And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're chatting about...
I did something really awkward to a new friend.
Per use.
And it's going to happen again, and I need to figure out... I need to crowdsource ways to approach this conversation so that I can not make it super awkward in the future.
Well, I think I can help you with that.
Thank you. What did you bring to class, Kathleen?
I have this new trick for laughing. Is that
okay, weirdo?
Speaking of people that are awkward.
Wait, is it a way to laugh or a way to make you laugh?
Well, it's like this theory behind laughing that I've developed in my recent weeks.
Okay.
And I also have a list of 29 habits that you need to break before turning 30.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, hope we hit them.
No, I can tell you right off the bat, there's a bunch of stuff in there as a 33-year-old woman that I have not broken yet. So Bethany and I are both wearing sunglasses right now.
Yeah, it's 3:05 p.m. in Kitchen Studio NYC.
We are indoors.
Uh-huh, wearing sunglasses.
I really can't see without my prescription glasses. Yeah. And I was running errands and I was at Banana Republic buying wedding clothes for my husband. We have to go to a wedding in Key West. Hot weather weddings are so much more complicated than cold weather weddings.
You got to find that seersucker. You got to find the linen.
Yes.
And you said you had to get a casual pocket square.
I had to get a casual pocket square. It's going to be so hot. Most of it's outside.
You need a wide brimmed hat.
Yeah, I don't want my husband to die from a heat stroke.
Yeah.
So I went to Banana Republic and I tossed my glasses into the bag after I left Banana Republic.
Yeah.
But bless the heart of the man who was checking me out, because my dress, right where my breastices are,
yeah,
my button came unbuttoned and he goes, "Excuse me, ma'am. He like couldn't get it out.
Oh.
I want to tell you that your dress is open."
Oh.
And I looked down and I was like, "Oh Lord.
That's so nice of him.
Thank you, sir." He's like, I don't know if that's like the way people are wearing it now. I just thought like maybe if it were my wife, she would want to know.
I'm glad he said something.
I know. I was like, you know what, sir? Good karma to you. I hope you win $1 million later. Yeah.
But so the moral of the story is you left your regular glasses in the Banana Republic bag.
And so I don't have them here in the studio, so I'm wearing my prescription sunglasses and out of solidarity.
Yeah, I'm also wearing my sunglasses just because. Going back, I love it when guys know they want to do the right thing, and so they're going to figure out a way to do it.
Yes.
Very similarly, over the weekend, we were shooting an episode of Labeled, and one of our actresses' pal was wearing a striped top.
Yeah.
And in person, it looked amazing. In the lighting we were in when we filmed her, it made her breasts look naked.
Oh my God.
And it was just the way the lines read on camera. It looked really strange. And my friend John was filming and he didn't know how to say it, but he knew that she would be unhappy if she saw that.
Yes.
And so he said, "Bethany, do you like this shot?" And I came over and I looked at the screen and I saw exactly what he was saying.
Uh-huh.
And then I went over and like talked to her about it. But I was like, I was so proud of him because that is a really... It's an uncomfortable thing to broach.
Yeah, I think anybody's natural inclination is to just not talk about it at all.
Yeah.
Because, okay, coming from a woman to a man, say a guy's fly was down.
Yes.
And like maybe one nut is hanging out of his jeans. It's a hard thing to tell somebody.
Like, it's uncomfortable. And
excuse me, sir, I can see your testicle. Like nobody ever wants to say that.
But I think it's easier for us because the power dynamic is always different.
Mm-hmm.
Like men are usually seen as the creepy aggressors.
Yes.
So it's more of an awkward position for them to be like something is happening with a private part of your body.
Yes.
Like, but I want to help you out with.
Yeah. So
it's really nice that the guy at J. Crew helped you out, or Banana Republic. Well, I have a sensory gift to give you, Kathleen.
A sensory gift?
Yes. So if you look behind you on the floor, you will see two cardboard filler pieces. What I would like you to do.
Can I step on?
Is to go step on them.
Oh,
I've never, now let me describe them really quickly. I've never seen these filler things before. They came in the box of cat food and they're like a piece of parchment paper over like ridged cardboard with another, it's like a big piece of thick cardboard.
Yes, with air pockets in between.
Yeah.
So you're not using as much cardboard to fill space.
Yeah, yeah. So I stepped on one to mush it down and it felt amazing. I would like you to now step on one. And then I left two out for you because I love you.
And I love that you did this because every time I walk into your house, I take off my shoes and my socks like I live here too.
Yes, you do live here.
Without even asking anymore, I'm sorry.
No, please. I like it. I like it. Step on them.
All right, I'm doing this. Oh, Bethany. Oh, my God. Oh.
Feels good, right?
Holy mackerel.
Did you just have a contraction?
Yeah. Multiple contractions.
There's one more for you over there.
Okay.
There's one more for you over there.
You ready?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Bless your heart, child.
I love you.
Wow. It's been a long time since that happened to me.
The first time I stepped on it, I was like, Kathleen needs this.
Oh,
Kathleen needs this.
Every salon that does toes. Mm.
They should have that.
I was swimming in the ocean this weekend. I was lucky enough to have a work trip to Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Your pictures, by the way, amazing.
Thank you.
Your Instagram photo, amazing.
Yeah.
Did you keep it up?
I did. We'll talk about it. I was in the ocean and I found like this sort of like pumice stone-y rock.
Ooh.
So I just was like pumicing every hard ridge of my body with that rock in the ocean, then rubbing my feet in the sand.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than your feet after a week at the beach or like a weekend at the beach.
Oh, God.
If you're walking in the sand, your feet get so dang soft.
Yeah, they get so exfoliated.
It's nature's pedicure.
Yeah, it's great. It's like, yeah, all that dead skin gets left behind. So when you walk in it, you're walking in other people's dead skin.
Yes.
Which is just
disgusting.
Sexy. It's
disgusting.
Incredible. It's amazing. You have such a sunburn, honey.
I get a little bit of color on my face specifically. I am burned in only my T-zone. I don't know why. I think I was wearing big sunglasses and my cheeks were covered. But my face is radiating so much heat that the second I put any sort of makeup or foundation over my sunburn, it just melts right off.
It looks
like I've been crying because my nose is so red.
And now it's just sort of rosy.
And now
your shoulders are a little red, but the rest of you is fine.
And my chin is already starting to peel one day after this sunburn. Yeah.
Hooray.
I was sending Bethany selfies from vacation. Like, I'm crispy.
I realized I hadn't checked in on you, so I just texted you. I was like, hey, how's it going in Puerto Rico? And you just sent me a selfie of you bright red, like no makeup on. Your hair was all over the place and you looked miserable.
10 years ago, I would have been like, yeah, this is my base tan.
Yeah.
Now in my 30s that I know about like sun care and aging and skin cancer and that kind of stuff, I'm like, God damn it, I'm stupid.
Well, when I went in to get my moles checked, you know, to be touched by my dermatologist, she asked me, have you ever had a sunburn?
It's like, who hasn't?
And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, as a kid? And I said, yeah. She was like, okay. Like taking it in as though like the cancer could come. And they say if you've had more than like two or three severe sunburns, even as a kid, that's bad.
I've had at least 10.
I think as a kid, I took pride in them.
Bad sunburns.
Bad.
Yes. As a kid, you're like, yes, because you wanted to burn because then it would turn into brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not so much anymore.
Bethany,
so.
I saw this woman at the beach this weekend and I was like, oh, is that Bethany in 10 years?
Why? Was she just covered
like,
in black?
No, probably you in 20 years. No, it was like an older version of you and her hair was white and her skin was white. And I was like, oh, it's a ghost.
I get sent a lot that meme where it's like, find the pale person. And it's a pale woman suntanning, but it's not her. It's the person blending into the sand behind her.
Yeah.
Like that's
someone who's white as the sand.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm glad you had a good time.
Thank you.
And we're gonna have a good podcast today. And we have a lot of fun things to talk about.
Like stepping deliciously on perforated cardboard.
Oh, so good.
So good.
Feels so good. So, Kathleen, you've been traveling, I've been traveling, and the one thing that's a constant for both of us is packing our Rothy's.
Yes.
You want the most bang for your buck in terms of luggage space, and Rothy's go with yoga pants, they go with dresses, they go with skirts, they go with shorts, they go with pants, they go with shorts, they go with other shorts.
Yes.
And a dress.
So I just bought two pairs of Rothy's, one for my mother, one for my mother-in-law.
Nice.
I don't think I've ever seen my mother-in-law be so excited for anything that I've ever given her in like the 14 years that I've been dating my husband.
Which is a lot because you give good presents.
Yeah, sometimes.
And the best thing about Rothy's is that they are seamlessly crafted from recycled water bottles, which means that they're super comfortable as soon as you slip them on.
So this fact about Rothy's blows my mind. They have diverted over 25 million water bottles from landfills.
They make this super soft thread out of water bottles. I don't know how they do it, but because of that, the shoes are fully machine washable, you're saving the earth, and they're manufactured in a zero waste factory. So this is such a good company to be spending your money with.
They launch new colors and patterns every few weeks. I feel like I'm always going to their Instagram to be like, what's next? Yeah. What's on the menu?
You get to collect. So check out all the amazing styles available right now at rothys.com/taste. Go to rothys.com. That's rothys.com/taste to get your new favorite flats.
I love them. Bethany loves them. Mm-hmm. Our feet, most importantly.
Love them. Comfort, style, sustainability. These are the shoes you've been waiting for. Head to rothys.com/taste today.
Bethany, do you need some of my sage advice?
I do. Okay. So I have a friend. I had a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And this friend was like a good business contact as well as a good friend.
Okay.
So a lot of contacts I have now are through this friend.
Gotcha.
Okay. This friend died
mm-hmm.
like several years ago.
Yes.
Right. So I'm talking about it now, not in a mourning way, yes. sad way. Like
you've had a few years right, to process, but I remember when she died and you were really, really devastated for a
devastated.
Long time.
Devastated. That happened.
Mm-hmm.
And these relationships exist still. So I was talking to a new friend and they were asking me about some of these contacts I have. And I knew that the questions were going to come up of like, well, who can I get into contact with about this? And I didn't want to have to say like, you can't because they've died. So I just immediately said, oh, I, you know, did this through so-and-so who's dead.
Yes.
But that's awful because then that makes it super awkward because it makes it super awkward. And this is like a new friend.
Yeah.
And so we were texting. And so I said, like, I'll tell you exactly what I read. I'm going to read it to you. Or what I wrote. I'll read it to you.
This is a situation
so awkward.
It happens to a lot of people when they lose somebody in their lives that they're close to.
And like, and it's just, it's like purely, these conversations are like business conversations. So I don't want to make them feel uncomfortable by them saying, oh, well, how can I reach out to this person? And then have to have me say they're not around anymore. Mm-hmm. And then that person's going to feel really bad and uncomfortable.
Yes.
So I try to head them off at the pass by already stating this fact so they don't have to ask it, but then it's uncomfortable. This is what I said. I did it through a friend who had connections.
Mm-hmm.
The awful news is that my friend actually passed away. So
and connections then I just, gone.
Yeah. So then I just put the like face.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And then I just like verbally apologized, like spewed apologies. How do you state in a non-emotional way that this person has passed, thus taking the pressure off the other person when they ask where they are? I can't even like phrase the question.
Okay, so
which is why I can't Google the question.
It's kind of like when you're swapping stories about childhood with somebody.
Yes.
And, you know, if someone's telling you about their grandparent, it's not a shocker if grandparent is no longer with us, right?
Yes, correct.
But if they're like, oh, my sister, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, oh, well, what does your sister do now?
Yeah.
And the answer is that your sister's no longer alive.
Yeah.
It's kind of like along the same lines.
Yes.
It's like, oh, well, she's not with us anymore. You know, we loved her dearly, but she passed.
Yes.
So maybe you could say this friend, blah, 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 blah. And she's no longer with us anymore. She passed multiple years ago, but you could get in touch with XYZ.
Yeah. I think anytime death comes into the conversation, it's going to make it immediately very, very awkward.
I used to email this person all the time for work years ago when I worked in magazine publishing.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, it was a guy. And just like, oh, hey, blah, blah, blah. Can you like fix this on this website? Whatever. I was a webmaster for a magazine before my current job as a radio producer.
Did you get a hooded cloak?
And
you were a crown master?
A master.
Crown master.
A maester.
A maester.
Which is isn't that the Game of Thrones version of a master?
I think so. By the way, everyone's pissed.
Don't tell me about the name. I haven't seen
it. Oh, okay.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a second.
Erase, erase, erase.
And one day I sent him an email. I was like, hey, blah, blah, blah. Like, this is looking kind of funky. Can you check the code? And I got an email back from a colleague. And it was like, actually, so-and-so has died. I'm like, oh my God. But do I ask you to fix the problem? Like, how do you address it moving forward? Like, oh, so... are you the person that like fixes all the JavaScript now?
Like, because you seem like a dick if you move straight to business,
yes.
But you also have to get the JavaScript figured
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
How did you do it?
You know what? I don't even remember. I think that person directed me to somebody else who directed me to somebody else. It was like a long chain of figuring out who was going to do his job until they hired somebody new. But yeah, it's not easy.
No, it's really uncomfortable. Handling death from a business perspective is very, very strange.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so it was... I don't know. And because this person is a new friend, I didn't. But the good news is that, like, I think anyone who knows me and like this person listens to the podcast. So like they knew me before we became friends.
Yeah.
So like I think you get a sense of how not good I am at social interactions.
Yeah,
it's clear
because you're not in mourning anymore. You miss your friend. But
yeah.
It's been a couple of years and you're not be like, oh, well, you know, they're dead. Don't worry. It's cool. Because then you sound like a big a-hole.
Right. Totally. But like I don't want
that it's cool that they died.
And it's not, obviously. And like I still she gave me that plant. Like she gave me that plant and the plant still lives. Like, and so every time I see this plant, I think of her. And so she's definitely still like in my life every day, but it's just an uncomfortable thing. You're going to make the person you're talking to uncomfortable if you bring it up first, but it's going to make them feel worse, I think, if they bring it up asking.
I would say moving forward, if you ever find yourself in this situation, I did it through my friend. Her name was blah, blah, blah. She passed a couple years ago, and so we don't have that contact anymore, but here's what I can tell you.
So maybe front load
yes.
the death.
And make sure you include a couple years ago so
yeah.
somebody doesn't think that you like just got home from the funeral.
Gotcha, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So front load the news.
Mm-hmm.
Make it clear that it was happened a while ago.
Yeah.
And then like give alternative options.
You know what? When people have siblings die or when people have parents die when they're very young, I think it's the same situation when you meet somebody new and you're telling them about your family and kind of where you're from. And, you know, it's, oh, well, I had three brothers or I had two sisters, but only one is alive now. You know, it's just something that comes up in conversation. And if you're on the receiving end of that and somebody tells you this news, you just go, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
And that's it. You don't need to go in and ask questions and like really seem like you're doing a deep dive on caring. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, so sorry for your loss. That's like, enough.
Read the room.
Yeah.
If they're kind of chill about it.
Yeah.
You can be chill about it.
Yeah.
Thank you. I was like trying to think of how to Google it. Cause you can just go on like, what is it? Quora. And ask questions. And I don't, you know, how do you ask that question?
Or Reddit.
Reddit,
you can ask a lot of embarrassing questions.
Yeah, that's true. I'm afraid of Reddit. I'm a Reddit lurker, but I'm afraid to actually pose questions because I'm afraid I'm going to break the rules and then all the people on Reddit are going to yell at me and then like downvote me and then like come to my house and kill me.
Stop.
I don't know how this works.
Do you really care about being downvoted on Reddit?
I mean, no, but I also don't know if they're going to, you know, because everyone can see your Reddit history.
Yeah.
And so what if I ever, I don't know. I just don't want people to downvote me and like make fun of me. There's so many rules. And if you break the rules, like, I don't know.
You know what the crazy thing about Reddit is? It's one of those websites when you sign up, based on the nature of the stuff that you're going to be commenting on or liking or like subscribing to, you should probably use fake names for everything.
Uh-huh.
Because there's so much juicy, dark stuff on Reddit that like I Googled somebody once who said something mean to me on Twitter and I was like, fuck this person.
Yeah.
Google their name because, of course, they had their full name like an idiot on their Twitter profile. Like, don't have your full legal name. Whatever. Their Reddit profile came up. I could see everything that they commented on. And this person was an absolute total freaky freak.
Like, what kind of stuff were they
doing? Just like feet stuff and like dungeon stuff. And then like some embarrassing things like... like, I don't know, like sex porn stuff and
sex porn,
sex porn,
sex porn. Sex porn. Oh gosh. So shameful.
But then like also like, house gardening, house plant stuff. And it's like, you're a freak.
Porny house garden stuff.
Conceal your name.
Yeah.
Don't sign up for Reddit with your
with your full legal name.
Because there's going to be that weird, freaky-ass photo that you do want to comment on.
Yes.
Because it's a phenomenon that you've never seen before. But you don't want, like, your boss to see.
Yeah, no. Right. And, like, if someone knows your full legal name, they can find where you live. And now if they're also into the same kind of sex porn, they can show up and be like, I'm also into, you know, this kind of fetishy, like saran wrap based sex porn.
Like things I subscribe to on Reddit that I don't want anybody to know. Like cat stuff, like cat videos, teen fashion.
Really?
Teen books, like I love YA, that type of stuff. But then also like pizzas shaped like penises.
Speaking of penises, wait, did you see the story about the guy who's, he got his wedding ring stuck on his penis?
No.
Hold on, I have to go to my history.
What? Get out of here.
Yeah. This happened, let's see, it was on HuffPo. This happened in South Africa. It's, yeah, HuffPost. A 28-year-old South African endured a rare case of, quote, penile strangulation after squeezing his wedding ring around his sex organ for, quote, erotic reasons. So they think that he was trying to use it as a cock ring. And it got stuck.
Cock rings have to stretch.
Yeah, that's part of the deal. Do you want to see a picture?
I do. Thank you for asking me first and not just showing me.
So he got written up in the South African Medical Journal.
Okay, what kind of, I mean, okay, I want to know, A, how big was his finger? Like, did he have an extraordinarily big finger or extraordinarily small penis?
I think an average of both.
I don't really have that much experience with penile organs. I just don't.
They're aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
They're never going to look good.
Mm-mm. I just, but like in terms of size, like I just don't have, I don't have a lot of experience. So no. I just like don't know what's big and what's small.
Yeah. I think that average, they say 6 inches is average. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true. Okay. Are you ready for that? By the way, you can find this if you just Google like Huffington Post penile strangulation. Mm-hmm. It'll link you over to the South African Medical Journal.
Uh-huh.
Ready?
I'm ready.
You're going to hate it.
Okay. What the hell? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Can you describe that?
Okay. So it was a Caucasian man and you know how peni, they're sort of like reddish in color, even like no matter what race the person is. Anyway. Yeah,
they're kind of like they're a little darker than the natural skin tone.
Yeah. So this guy's shaft is like red. Like,
well, keep in mind it's red also because it's bleeding.
Well, okay, so he got it over the tip. He got it somewhere into the middle.
Yeah.
And from the middle to the tip, it is black.
Black.
It is because there's no circulation.
Yeah, it's like a black, blue, dead. It looks dead.
And it looks like a normal-sized wedding ring, like a normal-sized man finger wedding ring.
Yeah, like a woman might put it on her thumb.
How in God's name did he get it through there in the freaking first place?
It looks like...
Is this like when a mouse squeezes through a hole that you think is really too small for it to fit through?
That is exactly what this is.
Soft tissue.
If you've seen the movie Plan 9 from Outer Space...
Can't say I have.
The woman in that movie... she has a corset around her waist and it's impossible that corset should make that much of a dent in her body, but it does. It looks like that.
I mean, you know, when you go to a store and you try on a ring and you realize too late that the ring is too small for your finger and then you start to panic because you can't get the ring off and then your finger starts to swell and then it makes it even harder to get the ring off.
And then you're like sucking on your finger and trying to get the ring off and now your finger is like pulsing.
And now you've got your saliva all over a ring that you're not going to buy.
Yes, yes, yes. It's like that, but with your penis.
That sends me into a panic. I can't imagine what it's like to walk into an emergency room and just have to pull down your pants and show somebody.
The best part, his mom drove him.
Oh, no.
So I'm curious. No. I'm curious. I guess he lives with his mother and was doing it for himself is my guess.
Oh.
Is my guess.
You know what? If you're that curious or if you don't have enough stuff to do to take up your time, I don't know.
I think if you're curious about the benefits of a CR,
a cock ring.
Maybe try rubber bands if you really don't have the money or the resources to get your own.
Okay, like with the invention of Amazon, there's no reason why this guy should have put his wedding ring around.
Well, he may have been living in a... I don't know if he was living in a part of South Africa. Maybe he doesn't get like Prime.
Didn't they run out of water recently, which is kind of sad.
I think like he's probably working with different resources than we are here in this city.
That's true.
But yeah, like, maybe like a rubber band or like, you know, like...
Maybe like a hair tie.
A hair tie. Not a hair tie. I don't, unless you have, don't go to like a girl, like a young girl and say, can I borrow a hair tie?
I saw this movie on the plane, What Men Want, the Taraji P. Henson movie.
How is it?
It was great.
Was it?
Listen, I love bad, cheesy movies like that.
Yeah.
But at one point she's in the emergency room and the doctor that's helping her is like, she can hear his inner thoughts and he's like, I can't believe my life this morning. I hate working in the emergency room. I was dealing with some guy who put a hairdryer up his rectum. It's like, why?
I read once about a guy who got a light bulb stuck up his rectum and he claimed it was because he fell off a ladder onto a light bulb. But you know what, you know, Kathleen, you know, when you're like working in the garage and you climb, first you take your pants off.
Yes.
Cause it's hot out. And then you take, your underwear off because it's hot out. Yeah. It just feels nice to have that breeze from higher up in the garage when you're on the ladder.
Listen, I love a good breeze on my butthole.
Yeah, I mean, it feels great.
But I typically don't get it from up on top of a ladder.
I mean, to each their own.
Yeah, that's
but then, like, you know, you like to have, once you are going to take like a new light bulb, you like to have the light bulb air out. So you like place it on your garage floor, standing up on its tip.
Yes.
Balancing, right under the ladder.
That's easy to do with light bulbs.
Yeah, and then you climb up the ladder to just do some things, you know, Donald Ducking it, pantsless, and then you know when you slip off your ladder straight down onto the upended light bulb,
and the glass doesn't break,
and it doesn't break, and in fact it goes right in because it's lubed up.
Yep.
That happens quite often. If I had a quarter,
you'd be a millionaire.
The problem is that it did break.
It did. Oh no. Oh no.
Don't put things there that are not meant to be put there. Like, there's plenty of things on Reddit. They'll tell you where to go.
They make butt plugs for a reason. I used to have to walk by the Museum of Sex in New York.
I was wondering where this story was going.
On my way to work every day. And they have the most delightful and colorful collection of butt plugs in their window.
Anything you could want.
It is such a nice display.
Anything you could want. And made in a washable material so you can keep it hygienic. Maybe not a light bulb.
This conversation has gone in places I never would have dreamed.
I mean, it started out with business connections and it ended up with a light bulb up your butt. Like most business connections do if you're working in the right business. In that business. Is sex porn. So Kathleen, I know somebody who is looking for a therapist but does not have health insurance. And that in the past was a really big problem.
It's a huge bitch.
Not anymore. Talkspace. And this is what I said to them. I said, not anymore, because Talkspace.
Yes.
Talkspace online therapy makes taking care of your mental health more affordable and convenient than ever before.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month.
That's right.
So on social media lately, I've been seeing so much positive output and sharing about people who seek out therapy.
Yeah, it will change your life. And right now, finding the right therapist doesn't have to be stressful. The Talkspace matching process takes your unique preferences into account to find you someone whose style and expertise matches what you need. And if you want to switch therapists, you can do so at any time at no extra cost.
You no longer have to wait for your next appointment to talk about what's on your mind. With Talkspace, you can send an unlimited amount of messages to your dedicated therapist from the privacy of your own device, from anywhere at any time.
And they're affordable. 1 month of therapy on the Talkspace platform costs about the same as a single face-to-face session. So it's great for people who don't have health insurance, like my friend.
Sometimes my friends call me and they're in a panic.
Yep.
And I can't necessarily give them the best answer. I'm not a professional. Talkspace is an excellent resource when you're going through something hard and at any moment's notice, you need someone to walk you through something.
Yeah, and you don't know when you're going to get into a panic. It's nice to know that your therapist is there whenever you need them.
Talkspace has more than 4,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing the challenges that we all face. To match with your perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com and make sure you use the code TASTE, that's T-A-S-T-E, to get your first week free and show your support for this podcast.
So again, go to Talkspace.com and use the code TASTE. That's going to get you your first week free.
I started doing this thing, and I don't want to be dark about this, but
I just talked about death, so you can kind of do whatever you want at this point.
It's been a while now where I wasn't feeling like myself. Yeah. I was feeling kind of down, and the things that normally made me happy weren't making me happy anymore.
Okay.
And I was doing this thing where if someone said something that was kind of funny, I just went, like a weak ass limp noodle laugh.
Yeah, kind of a sneer.
And it was because I was feeling, you know, I had feelings of depression and feelings like I was out of it. And I was like, this laugh is not working for me.
Yeah.
So I started making myself fake laugh.
Jesus. Okay.
But Bethany, let me tell you, the fake laugh turned into real laughs.
It worked?
It worked. And there's no better medicine than laughing. Like, do you know how good a deep belly laugh feels?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, yes. Laughing until, I call it the laughgasm, where you laugh so hard that you sort of get tipsy a little bit. And like for a second, you're like, the world kind of spins.
You're kind of high.
Yeah, you're high. Yeah, exactly.
So maybe if you're in a place where you're not feeling like yourself or you're feeling kind of down, please start fake laughing.
Yes.
Because if it worked for me, I think it can work for other people. Now, let me show you.
Okay.
Bethany, say something to me that's like, I don't know, like mildly funny.
Okay. Where do the generals keep their armies?
I don't know. Where?
In their sleeveys.
See, that would have been like my previous laugh. But here is what I forced myself to do that turned into genuine laughing.
Okay. Okay, but here's my question. Okay, psycho, here's my question.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
If you had done that laugh to the joke I just told, I would have brought you in for some sort of psych evaluation.
No, that's not true at
it
all.
It is a disproportionate laugh.
No, it's not. Like, somebody could have been like finding what you said very funny. I'm telling you, start fake belly laughing. Those belly laughs will turn into real laughs, and you will find yourself an overall happier person.
I love that you're doing this. You're not lying.
I'm not lying. And I say this because I brought my friend Pam with me on my work vacation over the weekend. We were lucky enough to be able to bring a plus one to this trip. And she and I just belly laughed all weekend.
That's amazing.
And a lot of it has to do with who she is as a person. She doesn't take life seriously. And I can kind of talk about whatever in front of her and we just laugh and laugh and laugh.
Yeah.
But there was a point in my life where even if I had gone on vacation with Pam and we'd spent the whole weekend together, I would have done like a lot of, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. And it's the belly laughs that really make a huge difference in your life.
It's so funny. I do that a lot if you're taking like a group photo.
Yes.
Where I'll say to everyone, pretend to laugh.
Yes.
And people pretend to laugh. And then all of a sudden you're all laughing really hard for real. And you get some of the best pictures because they're not just people posing. It's everyone laughing and interacting with each other. And you make really great eye contact. And it's some of the best pictures you'll see. So you're not lying. You're absolutely right. It really works.
And you know, when you're watching something on TV or you're listening to the radio and maybe something's not really particularly that funny, but somebody else is laughing in response and then you start laughing, if you, you know, adapt this deep belly laugh type of style, you're going to make the other people around you happier.
Yeah. No, you're
and
right.
Then when someone tells you a joke and you give like this really genuine, hearty laugh response, you're going to make that person feel really good about themselves too.
That's very true.
And I'm telling you, my laugh is not fake anymore. It was for a little bit. Like, I was forcing myself to give a bigger laugh than I normally would.
Yeah.
But it made me, in turn, it made me a really happy person.
I wonder if it changes your brain chemistry.
I bet it does.
Like the act of laughter. I'm going to look this up.
It's kind of like the same idea behind fake it till you make it.
Yeah. Does laughing...
If you're not happy, laugh. And then you'll be happy.
Chemistry. Laughing with friends releases feel-good brain chemicals, which also relieve pain, new research indicates. Until now, scientists haven't proven that, like exercise and other activities, laughing causes a release of so-called endorphins. This is from back in 2011. But now it says that it does. We think that it's a bonding effect of the endorphin rush that explains why laughter plays such an important role in our social lives. This is from Scientific American.
I mean, there's a reason why people like comedy movies, and there's a reason why people like watching comedians do stand-up.
Yeah.
Because it feels genuinely good to laugh.
Well, yeah, it absolutely does. And I think that if you're going on a date, going to a comedy is mm-hmm. a much better idea than going to a rom-com.
Yes.
Because a rom-com sets up these unrealistic ideals that you're never going to live up to. And a comedy, the two of you are hopefully laughing together
yeah.
and bonding, or go to a scary movie because then you really want to touch.
And you know what I do now at home that I never did before? If I'm watching something on TV that I find funny
yeah.
before, I never, ever, ever would have laughed out loud because yeah. I was like, what's the point? I'm by myself. Like,
right.
who cares? Now, if I see something funny on TV or in a movie that I'm watching, whatever, I howl. Even if I'm by myself. And I'm
yeah.
telling you, it's like natural antidepressant medication.
That's amazing. I love that you're doing that. Yeah, this article is like all about it. They say that it's really good. True laughter causes physical exhaustion of the abdominal muscles and in turn trigger endorphin release. Endorphin release is usually caused by physical activity like exercise or touch like massage, but laughing can do it as well.
And the friend that you always want to be around is the friend that's always laughing.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah, I am not that friend.
Like who is the person that you're like, oh God, I love him. I love her. I love they, whatever. It's always the person that is absolutely howling their head off.
Yeah. Well, and when we were talking about a couple weeks ago about how to be charming
yeah.
and they did that article about Amelia Clark, she's always laughing.
Always laughing.
Always laughing.
But you know what? Maybe she was in a dark place and she did some fake laughs and now she just laughs all the time.
I mean, it seems genuine. And then you get really good. It might seem genuine and then it is genuine. I think that's great. I'm happy that one thing I like about you, Kathleen, is that you do a lot of thinking and like self-assessment and you're always working to like solve your problems and like keep going.
Thank
and
you.
I like that about you.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're all humans and we're all just doing our best and we all got to keep going. Mm-hmm. Tell me something funny.
Oh man. I don't know.
See what I did? It was funny that you didn't know a joke.
Wait. All right. Okay, hold on. I'm going to show you this picture.
I'm not mocking you, I promise.
I'm going to show you this picture and this picture made me laugh and we'll post it.
Okay.
This picture made me laugh so freaking hard. It was a Twitter convo mm-hmm. and it was like, send me the most random picture on your phone. And this person tweeted this picture. It's of a what are they called? Geode.
Okay.
And the geode just looks like a face.
I don't.
And it says local rock in great mood today. So we'll tweet this out and post it on Instagram.
That is, it's like when you go to the science center on
yeah.
a field trip and it's like in the gift shop.
Yeah, yeah.
What is it called?
I think it's a geode.
There's another name for it. It's like
a sparkly rock.
It's like one of those gemstone
yeah.
paperweights.
Yeah.
With all the jagged edges in the middle.
Yeah, and there's like a scooped out opening naturally that has like the jagged crystally edges. If it's not a geode, I will give you $5 American.
It is agate.
Oh, damn it.
And I am correct on this.
I don't have, can you break a 20? Is it agate or agate?
A-G-A-T-E.
I just learned how to pronounce laude, summa cum laude, because I had to say it for the first time out loud.
It's not laude, summa cum laude.
I think it's laude. I've only ever read those words, but I had to say them out loud yesterday because I was hosting this thing.
Yeah.
And I had to text my family because a lot of times if you go on YouTube and you search those pronunciation videos, they're wrong on purpose.
Yes.
It's people like trolling you.
Yep.
So I didn't know who to trust. And so I trusted my family.
I was summa cum nothing because my grades were not that good. Summa cum average.
Summa cum whelp.
Summa cum average. That's what I was.
All right. Well, let us know how your laughter experiments are going. Gentle listeners.
Please.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
See, that was a genuine one right uh-huh. there. Is there anything better than going back and reminiscing about old memories, especially when you have old photos and old videos and stuff to look at with your friends and family?
Which is why I love Legacy Box so much.
You may think that your memory is really good, but I'm here to tell you that it's not as good as you think it is.
Exactly. Go into your mom's basement or your grandma's attic or your grandpa's, you know, whatever he has. Pull out those old photos, those old reel-to-reels, the VHS that you can no longer play because who the hell has a VCR anymore?
The photos that are in danger of being damaged or yellowed or, you know,
flooded,
crinkled up.
Legacy Box gives you a peace of mind that your stuff is safe and it ensures your family history is preserved forever.
Let's just talk about this box. First of all, Legacy sends you a box.
Yes.
You put everything in there in a box that you know it's going to be safe, it's going to keep your stuff, and then you send it back to them.
You put a barcode on every single piece so that they can scan it and you can follow it along on each step of the process.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they're digitized, if you ask for a file, they email you that file and you can instantly forward it to the people in your family and say, hey, do you remember when Aunt Betty's pants fell off at the family reunion? I have it. Here it is.
And then you can upload it to Instagram and tag Aunt Betty.
Exactly. She will love it. Over 450,000 families have trusted Legacy Box. They're the world's largest, most trusted digitizer of home movies and photos, and we want you to use them as well.
All of the work is done by hand right here in the United States.
And there's never been a better time to digitally preserve your memories. So visit LegacyBox.com today to get started.
Plus, for a limited time, they're offering our listeners an exclusive discount. So go to LegacyBox.com/taste and get 40% off of your first order.
Again, that's LegacyBox.com/taste to save 40% today. Get started preserving your past. Do you want to hear an awful story, Kathleen?
Always. I'm sorry, my chin is so itchy.
No, it's fine.
My sunburn.
It's okay.
It's starting to peel. And do I need to put mayonnaise on my face? Is that the trick
what
that they say?
Is it?
After a sunburn to draw the heat out.
Oh, I've never heard that.
I think I just made that up. Or is it butter?
Hold on. Let's how to treat a sunburn naturally.
When you were growing up, did your middle school or high school or whatever ever use the word butter in place of the word cool?
No.
Like,
in what, like, give me a context.
Okay, so you say like, oh, wow, that hat is really cool. But in my middle school, in like 7th and 8th grade, we'd be like, wow, that hat is butter.
No. No. Was that... No, but no, but also like,
yo, that's butter.
Maybe it was an East Coast, West Coast thing and like the Midwest didn't get that.
I don't know.
There's a lot of songs I had never heard of till I came here.
It was kind
of
like kosher too, the word kosher. Did you ever use the word kosher in the place of cool? Like, that's okay. That's kosher. That's cool.
Yeah, as in checking in. Like, is everything kosher?
Yes.
We would do that.
Okay.
We would use it in lieu of, like, copacetic. Is everything copacetic?
Gotcha.
Like, everything kosher, but we never used butter.
Butter. We it's used like, sort of like B-U-T-T-A.
We used it like that smooth, like, butter.
No.
But we wouldn't use it.
Like, butter. That's cool. That's butter.
I bet it was used by
that
other people.
Album
and we just didn't get it.
Is butter.
How do you get rid of sunburn in an hour? Apply a cold compress. Don't rub your skin. Pat it.
My skin, my chin is so itchy.
Pat it.
I hope it burned out all the acne in my face. Do you think that's possible?
I'm going to see how to treat a sunburn. Mayonnaise?
They say that if you have acne, and growing up, I had the worst back knee, which was absolutely, there's nothing more humiliating than trying to wear like a tank top when you're 15 years old or 16 years old and your back is just covered in welts.
It's embarrassing.
But they say if you go in the ocean, that salt, that'll clear it right up.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Dries it out?
Yes.
They say that mayo doesn't help heal it, but it could be temporary pain relief.
Mm. Okay, I'm going to do that when I go home. And then I'm going to make a sandwich.
Yeah, I mean, you just rub your back. I literally did that thing in public. I'm so embarrassed where your back hurt, your back itches and you can't reach it. So you rub up against a tree like a bear.
Oh, and you didn't.
And I used to make fun of one of my old producers for doing that. but my back itched and I couldn't.
So you found
get
a tree?
It. Yeah. And I wasn't with anyone to scratch it. So I rubbed up against a tree like a bear, like a goddamn bear. You know what? At this point in my life, I've done more worse things. Okay, so doctors in China found an unusual cause for a patient's ear problem. This is also from Huffington Post. What do you think the ear problem was? The guy was itching. What do you think it was?
Oh, goodness gracious.
Think of the worst thing it could be.
Did a bug crawl into his ear?
Sure did. It was a spider.
Oh.
You know what the itching was?
What?
The spider building a nest.
No.
This is according to the South China Morning Post. The patient...
My favorite publication.
I know you read it every day. Reported an, quote, intense itch in his ear. Went to the hospital. His doctor said, I didn't notice it when inspecting his ear with a naked eye. However, using an endoscope, I discovered the small spider inside.
No.
The spider was caught on camera as it spun a web in the patient's ear canal.
Canceled.
Making matters worse, the elusive arachnid moved too quickly to be caught with instruments and had to be flushed out.
You know a phrase I never want to hear again for the rest of my life?
Hmm.
Elusive arachnid.
Yeah, bad, bad, bad. And now everyone's ear is itching.
Oh, and you're itching your eye.
Oh, God.
Is there something living in your eye?
Probably, Kathleen.
Okay, I printed out this thing from greatest.com, one of my favorite websites. 29 habits you need to break before turning 30.
Okay, okay.
I'm just going to go through them very quickly.
Habits to break?
Okay. Yes. Do you flake out on your friends?
I am getting better at that.
I
actually.
Am too.
I'm getting very good at that, of not doing it.
Spending too much money on cheap clothes.
Also getting better at that. But again, I have already turned 30. It took me a long time.
I love a good shopping spree at Forever 21, but sometimes my stuff just does not last.
And I've gone to like sample sales where the clothes are really high quality for very cheap. And I'm like, oh, this is what high quality clothing feels like and drapes. And like,
yes.
So now I'm saving my money and then not only, but trying to buy better high quality things.
You just have to be savvy about it. There's so many places online to buy secondhand stuff that's very high quality. Do you skimp on your skincare? Now, they're not talking about how much money you spend on your skincare, but like, do you have a routine that you follow every night?
Yes.
Me too.
Yes. Do not fall asleep with your makeup on.
And you don't have to spend a lot of money. There's a lot of really great drugstore brands out there, or our favorite BioClarity.
Yeah.
That, you know, they're not going to break the bank, but they're going to give you a good skin routine.
Yes.
Do you ever feel guilty for your success?
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do.
So I used to do this thing. I got my job at Elvis Duran the Morning Show about 8 years ago.
Yes.
And I used to say, and I still believe this to a certain point, but I used to say, fake it till you make it. Okay, yes, I totally believe that.
Yeah.
But then when somebody else would say, well, how did you get your job? I would say, well, you know, right place, right time. I was just very lucky.
Yeah.
And the truth was, is that I wasn't very lucky. I went on like 3 or 4 interviews. I knocked them all out of the park.
You worked your ass off.
Did my research, and that's how I got the job.
Yeah. There's something to be said about humility, but there's also something to be said about owning how much work you put into something.
Yeah.
And one thing for me, which is like a little inside baseball, is that, when I left my job to do acting and producing full time, I was afraid to post on social media about what I was doing because I didn't want people to think that I was trying to be something I wasn't or like be better than I was.
And I understand that.
I was like, oh, but I'm actually doing these things.
Yes.
And so there's no shame in showing what I'm working really hard on.
Yes.
Right. So, but yes, that's been a big thing.
Another habit this article wants you to break: not cleaning your shower until it's covered in mold.
Shoot.
My shower is the most disgusting place in my house.
Same. It's awful.
Okay. So I don't like buying plastic shower liners all the time because it feels wasteful.
Yeah.
But then you really have to put some elbow grease into getting the scum off of the ones that you already own.
Yes, because you have to hold them while you clean them. And yeah, I have to do that. Mine are like at the orange stage of mold before it turns black.
Yep.
I gotta,
And I've purchased the expensive ones at Bed Bath & Beyond, the ones that claim to be like bacteria free.
Yeah.
It is the same thing as the $5 ones at the supermarket. Okay, smoking and tanning. They say you really shouldn't do either.
No.
But like sometimes I just like to get a little sun.
I mean, not tanning.
It's stupid. Constantly running late.
Don't do it.
I'm so guilty.
Don't do it. I saw why you do it. I was with you once when I realized we were going to run late and I saw how it happened.
How did it happen?
It happened because you think you can fit more things into a time period than you actually can.
Yes.
And I think I can fit fewer things into a time period than I can. So I'm always early.
Maybe that's the difference between people who are early and people who are late.
It's not that you don't care about the person's time. You have a different sense of how long time takes to pass.
Yes.
And so we were going to a meeting and you were like, I can run uptown really quickly and drop this thing off. And we were supposed to be at the meeting in like 30 minutes. And I was in my head, my alarm bells went off.
Yeah.
I was like, we cannot do this. But then I was like, maybe we can because I'm always overcautious, and we could not.
No.
But I saw the way it happened, and there is no sense of not caring about time for you. You just view time differently.
So I was thinking about how you are always early to places.
Always early.
And I was like, God, you know when you're early? So when I'm early and I'm like, wow, this feels nice.
Yeah, like, feels good.
I'm not stressed.
Uh-huh.
I had a very leisurely drive to wherever I was going.
Yep.
I got to listen to some music. I wasn't like having a panic attack about showing up late. I need to remember that feeling next time I'm going somewhere important where I have to be there at a specific time.
Yeah. I think take one thing out of your to-do list before you go there. So if you're like, I have to do this, drop this off and then pick this up, maybe take the pick it up thing off the list and you might be right on time.
Yeah. Okay. Never buying groceries, they say. You need to break that habit. It's a hard one.
It's a hard one.
It's probably the biggest thing financially right now that's affecting my personal bank account.
Because you just like order food?
Because I order takeout so much.
Yeah.
When I do go get groceries, sometimes I have a so many greens and beautiful vegetables in my fridge and I'm like, I'm too tired. And I just order seamless anyway. Yeah,
it's tough. That one thing that has helped a lot is Instacart. Like they're a partner, but I use them like organically as well. And it is nice to just say like, okay, I don't have time for this. I'm definitely going to just have someone do it and bring it to me.
They say that you have to stop sending regrettable texts after 2 a.m.
When was the last time you were up at 2 a.m.,
Listen,
Kathleen?
My favorite thing to do on a Saturday night is go to bed early.
Yes.
I don't send texts after 2 a.m., but I have friends that do. I have friends that will show up outside of a guy's house, like a booty call, that when he happens to live in their neighborhood, and then they ring his doorbell until he opens up the door.
No.
But he's thrilled to see them because he knows he's going to have sex, and they are probably drunk and there to have sex anyway.
Don't ever do that.
No,
you are better than that.
After 2 a.m., like you're never really thinking clearly at 2 a.m. unless you've slept all day. And that's normally not the case.
No,
Do you check your phone at the dinner table?
I don't have a dinner table, but I know what they're saying.
You have an island, a kitchen island.
I don't eat at it. I eat
on the couch like everybody in America.
Yeah. But I like the idea of putting the phone away. I am trying to put the phone away. And if I'm out to dinner, I usually put the phone away. Do you put the phone away?
I try to as much as I can.
Yeah. I think it's just like a sign of respect. Or if I have to have it out, I'll flip it over so the screen isn't up.
I do that a lot.
As a sign of like, I want to focus on you.
Because you have a lot of the notifications coming through.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just like it lights up at the end of the table. And then instead of looking at the person that you're having a conversation with, you look at your phone.
Yeah.
All right.
I like this list.
Fighting with your siblings over the small stuff.
We don't fight because we don't like conflict, so we just brew internally.
Oh, that sounds
healthy.
We
just simmer. Yeah. What about you and Hot Bert?
Gross.
He's a good-looking guy.
We do fight over the small stuff sometimes. We need to stop.
What was your last fight over?
Easter.
Like whether or not the Lord had actually risen?
Like what his plans were on Easter. I was mad that he didn't tell me what his plans were on Easter.
Your brother or Jesus?
My brother.
Oh, okay.
Not Jesus.
What were his plans?
It was just like he was having dinner with somebody and he didn't tell me that he was having dinner with this person and I got mad at him.
Was it his old girlfriend?
No, it wasn't his old girlfriend.
Is it his new girlfriend?
It was just so silly. There's no new girlfriend. He's moving to freaking Saudi Arabia.
Oh.
There's no... I'm hoping he meets a really nice girl over there who's there to teach English.
Yeah.
That's my dream for him.
Yeah. So who ended up saying, I'm sorry about the fight, or have you not handled it yet?
Nobody said sorry. We just said, like, let's stop being weird. I think he texted me, stop being weird.
That's a good way to end things. I see blacking out is on there.
No,
that's a good one. Yes, don't black out.
Don't black out. Number 28, not giving back to others, even if it's not a consistent thing. This article says that you really need to make time volunteering, whether you serve food at a shelter or mentor a child or visit folks in the hospital. You need to find a way to give back.
That's a good one.
I used to volunteer for Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
And I really loved doing that. And I need to find, but it was just a little bit too far. The drive wasn't feasible at a certain point. I need to find a way in my neighborhood to like volunteer my time.
Yeah. I have to do the same thing. I find myself throwing money at a problem.
Yes.
Sometimes. And that's great. Places need money.
Yes.
But places also need bodies.
Time.
Yeah.
People to lift things.
Yeah. 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 And if you don't have money to throw at a problem, then time is a great solution.
All right. Last but not least, don't wait for real life to start. It's your real life right now.
Ooh, that's a good one.
This is it. Check in with yourself about your hopes, your dreams, your goals on the reg. And if you haven't asked yourself lately what kind of life you really want to live, do it today.
You know what? I was going, I was on YouTube. I was watching makeup tutorials and I was like, I am not living my best makeup life.
Yes.
There are people walking around with amazing looks on every single day. And it's like it's a Wednesday. And it's like, why am I not doing this?
Putting on a face that makes you feel happy and putting on an outfit that makes you feel happy makes you a really happy person.
Yeah. and owning your accomplishments and just, yeah, these are all really good. I didn't do any of these before I turned 30, though.
I mean, how many times have you been like, okay, next month, I'm really going to get it together?
Yeah.
Or like, once I get past this project that I'm doing, then my real life is going to start.
Yep.
And your real life is right now.
Yeah.
Like, you are living it.
Yeah. You could get Regina Georged and then you will have never started your life.
I was at a stoplight the other day and I was watching, you know, they have like ambulance services. Yeah. If you need to go to the hospital, you know, pretty regularly, they'll come and get you.
Yeah.
And they were taking out this old woman on a stretcher and putting her in the back of their ambulance van. And I was looking at her and I'm thinking to myself, what do you think that woman wishes she had spent more time on?
Mm-hmm.
Is it work? No.
Nope.
I know probably for her, not so much the case, but maybe for me when I'm older, social media.
Yeah.
Nope. I don't wish I'm on my deathbed. I'm not gonna be like, well, I really wish I was on Instagram more hours a day.
I mean, no.
It's going to be my family, my children, my husband, mm-hmm. and maybe my spirituality,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe giving back to others.
Mm-hmm. I think that's about right.
So theoretical old lady, old man on a stretcher, mm-hmm. standing in front of you, walking by you. What are the questions that you're going to ask that person? You should ask yeah. those questions of yourself.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Okay.
I like it.
I like it. I want it. I bought it. That's how that Ariana Grande song goes,
I
right?
I love that song. I have to give a really quick shout out. I did the Rescue the Runway event yesterday through Mr. Bones & Co., this amazing animal rescue organization. And I met a couple of taste buds.
Oh, cool.
I have to give a shout out to Mandy. I met her. I had known her through social media, but met her in person finally. Mm. And she and her partner Kyle adopted a dog named Sophie through Mr. Bones & Co.
Aww.
And now Mandy volunteers with them. And then I met a woman and I'm 95% sure her name's Laurel. We met outside. She was also so, so sweet. So I want to give a shout out to just them and everybody else who came to that event yesterday. It was really, really awesome.
Oh, you love animals and it's so wonderful that you help out with that kind of stuff.
I almost came home with a bunch of them, but I live in an apartment.
Yeah.
And I can't.
It's a problem.
Because it's a hard, you can't. I wanted a hound. There was this hound, like a long hound.
But hound
not
make,
good
they,
for apartment.
They howl.
Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
So you know those tiny little clear rubber bands that you get in the hair section at any drugstore?
Yeah.
So I love a good side braid, and I love or pigtails, because I'm a 33-year-old woman
yeah,
who still
yeah.
wears pigtails.
They're adorable.
I love tying my hair off with those clear rubber bands. But today, I mentioned earlier in this podcast, I was at Banana Republic and the guy behind the register was like, oh, ma'am, your blouse is open.
Your boobs are showing.
I figured out a way to close a button that keeps coming open. Take one of those clear rubber bands and wrap it around the button. And it's not going to come off because that rubber is going to cause a little bit of friction.
That is such a good idea.
And you know what? You can't even really see it eventually.
No, I never noticed it.
And so if you have like a problematic shirt or something, just get some of those clear rubber bands and wrap it around the button.
That's a really good idea. Mm-hmm. I learned about this great organization. Actually, a woman at the event yesterday told me about it. It's called Resilience Gives, and it was started by a gentleman named Jake. He had a stem cell transplant because of cancer. He had a stem cell transplant, and one day he was standing in front of the mirror. He was leaning on his IV pole. He was so weak. He had lost so much weight, and he just didn't feel like he was in his own body anymore.
Uh-huh.
But he was wearing this just quirky, funny pair of socks, mm-hmm. and it made him laugh, and it sort of brought him back into his body. Mm. So he started this organization called Resilience Gives. The basis of the organization is that patients who are going through treatment for cancer, mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if it's other health issues as well, but I know it's definitely different types of cancers, they can design a pair of socks, and then you go on their website, and if you buy their socks, they get a percentage of that buy to them to like help pay for their treatment.
Amazing.
It's incredible. And so you can shop, and with every pair of socks you buy, you get their story. You get like a little card about them.
Aww.
So this pair of socks is designed by a girl named Audrey, and they're foxes.
Oh, they're so cute.
And she designed these herself. And then, yeah, a portion of the proceeds of the socks go directly to her. And they have all of these different types of socks. They have owls, and like one person did basketball. One person did a rabbit coming out of a hat.
I love this. What's the website again?
So it's resilience.gives.
This would be a great present to give
yeah.
somebody, because you're giving back, you're giving a present.
Yeah. Win-win. And they're so great. And it's just, they come in different sizes. You could also search by the different conditions. So if you want want to support someone who has lymphoma or testicular cancer, leukemia, you can do that too. I just want to, they're trying to spread the word. I think it's such a great idea. So again, it's resilience.gives is their website.
That's great.
Yeah, I really like them a lot. So follow us all on social media. And by all, I mean us. Kathleen, what's your social media?
You can find me on everything at WebGirlKathleen.
And then I am on Twitter, Radio Bethany. And on Instagram, I'm Ms. Bethany Watson. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. And then follow us on social media as the show. On Twitter, we are at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, at Acquired Taste Podcast.
Facebook.com/AcquiredTastePodcast.
You can send us an email at anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
Snail mail, we are P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
And if you want to leave us a voicemail, we play them at the end of every podcast. And I genuinely love...
They're so great.
...getting voicemails from our listeners. I sometimes text them back.
That must make people happy.
There's like a couple of taste buds that I'm checking up on every now and then.
We haven't heard from Tequila in a while.
Yeah, I just texted her last week. Yeah. Our number is 917-994-0353.
And the biggest thing you can do to help us out is to go on iTunes or wherever you listen and rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the most helpful. We would really appreciate it. You know by now, you hear all your podcasts talking about it. It just helps something with the ratings and the algorithm pushes us up.
The algorithm.
Yeah, we're trying to spread the word and like tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
Tell your family.
And our Facebook fan group. If you Google an Acquired Taste podcast on Facebook, the Facebook group comes up before our regular page. They just hit 4,000 members.
Yay!
Which is a huge accomplishment because it was just a little over a year ago that group didn't have any members.
Yeah, that's amazing. The way that I think, and by the way, we have nothing. It's all you. It's all you. You are all the ones who are doing that. And
it's the taste bud community. Yeah. And everybody that's in it is so amazing.
And the way that I think about it is, and we put this in last week's description of the show, like if the world is just a big scary cafeteria and you don't know where to sit, we want our podcast to be the table that says you can come sit with us.
Everybody is welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. So we like it when you check in every week with us and we all just kind of sit down and have lunch together.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we love you. Have a great week. And these are some of your voicemails.
Hi, ladies. I just fully paused this week's episode to call in because I literally squealed out loud and started clapping my hands when I heard what Kathleen said to that family member who told her that she should not order a rosé. Kathleen, that was truly, I mean, I would go as far to say that was brave of you. I'm inspired. I mean, I've been in that position many times in my life where I wish that I could have flipped the table over, and I've come close. Let me tell you, I have. Not sure I can exactly text my 75-year-old Russian grandparents that they can never talk to me like that again. You know, inheritances and all. But, I mean, I'm just going to go through life with this motto that other people's opinions are none of my business. And you know what? They should keep it their business. So in one way or another, if I can politely say that to the people in my life who tell me not to order something, who like to comment on what I'm wearing, who have something to say about the way I dress every time I go and see them, Kathleen and I identify with you so strongly. I might try to wiggle in that little sentiment saying that comment was none of my business, so you should have kept it to yourself. Got it. Love it. Love you both. Seriously, you guys make my life. I hope you both have a very sexy day.
Hi, ladies. This is Raven. I was just listening to the episode where you guys talked about sending an email like a CEO, and I thought about something I heard a little while ago. I think it was Lena Dunham who said that so often women in the workplace, not necessarily always women, but most of the time women, will often give clarifying statements before they give an idea or make a big statement to a group. And it often just isn't the best way to express yourself, where men will often just say the idea. So, for example, if the idea that you have is the sky is blue, women will often say things like, you may have already thought of this, but the sky is blue. Or, not to sound like a bitch, but the sky is blue. Or, I'm sorry if someone's already said this, but the sky is blue. So I just thought it was really interesting and your episode made me think of what she said about clarifying statements, and it's really changed the way I articulate myself, especially at work. If you've got something good to say, just say it.
Hey, ladies. My name is Amy Weekly from Connecticut. I'm going out on a limb here because I hate leaving voicemails, even with people that I know and love. But I wanted to reach out to you today because I listened to your most recent podcast, and there was just so many things that I can relate to and just really enjoy listening to you both. You guys are awesome and relatable and corny just like me, and I love that.
Hi, ladies. This is Jen from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was just listening to the bonus episode and about the three-day rule people, and my friends and I actually had this the cheap version, like you were talking about, that you could be spies on the dates. We called it date stalking, and we did it on the regular. It was always, like you were saying, first dates. We would not exactly be incognito because the people that they were dating didn't know who we were. We would sit close enough that we could see and kind of hear what was going on, but far enough away that we wouldn't be distracting too much. But we did it all the time, and we keep talking about how we were going to write a book about it or a podcast about it, and you know, that just never happened. But I had to call and tell you guys about about it after listening to the episode. It is awesome. You should definitely do it. All right. Love you guys. Bye.
Hello, gentle podcasters. You get it? Because we're the gentle listeners. Okay. So a few points on the latest podcast. When Kathleen talks about the inappropriate comment that a family member made about the rosé that prompted her to text them, that text message and the way in which Kathleen read it gave me goosebumps. I was like, damn, do not mess with Kathleen. Similarly, when Kathleen tells us that publishing companies didn't want to pick up Rachel Hollis's book because it doesn't have enough sex in it, Bethany says, really? And I don't know if other gentle listeners picked up on this because it could have come off as curiosity, but the underlying tone said, oh, hell no. Goosebumps. In conclusion, don't mess with Kathleen. Don't mess with Bethany. Okay, adore you, ladies. Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.